As you know, and maybe you don't know, we've got a mission team on the roll today. They made it to Cleveland yesterday, They made it to suburban Cleveland yesterday, and this morning they're out on a picnic table outside their motel. They've only got about 5 hours to go to Niagara Falls. And they're doing their devotions, and Barb called me this morning and wanted Tammy to know that Amy says she loves you. Now you can go. There's going to be about 100 kids that many of them don't have family. Most of them don't have enough to eat. There's about 20% unemployment in Niagara Falls area. It's just outside Buffalo a bit. You'd think it's like a honeymoon spot, and it is. But this neighborhood isn't. It looks a lot like Freeport's downtown or Sterling's downtown or Rockford's downtown. A lot of old warehouses, old factories, nothing going on, just weeds. So these kids have needs, and they need somebody to watch out for them. I don't even know the name of the people that have a restaurant there, and they only do like breakfast and dinner in the afternoon. They just shut it down. There's nothing going on in the evening. But they wanted to know what they could do as a mission project, and they couldn't decide. They prayed over it. They looked across the street, and there's a school. Well, school means kids. We got it figured out. We're going to have an after-school program for kids, and every afternoon, whole bunch of kids come over, they get a snack, and they get to hear the Word of God, too. So this week there'll be about 100 children doing crafts, hearing the Word, and I'm not even sure how many people from Mount Carroll are there, but we have three, Barb, Amy, and Scott will be there. What did I say? I'm sorry. I had the right family, wrong guy. I'm sorry. Excuse me. And I know Eric is looking forward to it. Amy's all excited. The girls from Mount Carroll are all excited that Barb's going because they know what her cooking's all about. So, anyway, remember them in prayer this week, and that it'll be a great week for them, and safe travel back home next Saturday. An old boy by the name of Joshua once said, "As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord." And sometimes we use the Lord so casually, so carelessly, just in everyday things. Here's some of the things we say. Lord. Lord, Lord. Oh, Lord. My Lord. Good Lord. Why, Lord? How, Lord? What about this one? When, Lord? Another one, what if, Lord? My Lord, our Lord, your Lord, he's Lord. Praise the Lord. Used to be a TV show by that name, I think. That's another subject. Holy, 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 Lord God Almighty is one line of a song. The Lord's Prayer, and then in the Bible, when did we call you Lord? We either said or heard these references to Lord, sometimes casually, sometimes with tears. We are the Lordy, not the Lorder. I think I need to handle that donut. I can't get hold of that paper. All right, the question, who's Lord and who's not, by definition? Daniel Webster. Not going to quote him exactly, but this is one of them. A Lord is one having power over another. Every one of us wants a little bit of that. Number two, a lord is a ruler by hereditary right or preeminence to whom service and obedience are due. And what does that mean? That means that your lord can tell you to defend me and defend my country. He can say, take care of me and take care of my country. And then he can also say, do it and do it well or else. Third definition, a lord is the male head of the household. Used to be. Look at our country today. We wonder why it's in the kind of financial or moral state that it's in. And I'm not blaming it on women. I'm not saying that. It's just that men are not taking the responsibility as head of their household. Another definition of lord would be a British nobleman. It's probably easiest to understand lordship by looking at British culture. Did anybody watch the Queen's Diamond Jubilee? It's been all over the news. She's the queen. She's the lord over the British people. How about that royal barge? Did you see that thing? The gold and the banners and all those people around her. Now, that's not just anybody could get on that barge. Where'd they all come from? They were born that way. In other words, they're royal blood. They had privilege. Or they were appointed. In their job, they answer to the queen. They're lords over little and great things, or people, but lord nonetheless. Books and movies, thousands of them, have been written about struggles of British culture between the lords and the lordees. In other words, the little people. Braveheart was a story about William Wallace driving the English out of Scotland. Books about the Irish struggling with the English. How many King Arthur stories and movies have you seen? What about Robin Hood? Harry Potter. Wait a minute, how'd that get in here? Let's forget that one. The Lord God isn't British, and he isn't American. He's God. He was Lord long before England or America came to be. Okay, Barry's lips have been flapping and his tongue's been wagging now for a few minutes. What's his point, the intention of this Lord business? Everyone has a Lord. Some people know it, some people don't know it. Back to the first definition, one having power over another. One having power over another. You get up in the morning, your goal might be to make as much money as possible, to get it before someone else gets it, to spend it as you please, or hide it so the IRS can't find it. And before you go to bed, you're planning how you're going to make tomorrow's cash. That person's lord might be money. This is an election year. Well, there's a bulletin. Anybody tired of the campaign rhetoric already? And it's only June. Politicians will tell people anything just to get the votes. Do almost anything just to get votes. Spend 10, 20, 50, maybe 100 times more money than the job pays just to get your vote. That person's lord is power. I hope there are some running for office this year that truly want to serve, but I don't think that there are many like that. Is it possible that toys are your lord? Now, I'm not talking about that stash that Katie's got for Mason there, that she has to bring to church to keep that busy fella occupied, and he's busy right now. toys help build Mason's hand-eye coordination. And he's got coordination. Look at him go. And then lubricate the gears in his mind as he ponders how he's going to destroy one toy or another, or how to tear it apart and put it all back together again. The toys I'm talking about are the ones with shiny paint, two or four doors, short bed or long, big tires with lugs or chrome wheels. Everybody's invited over to look, but not touch. Maybe go for a ride. Remember your first car or truck? Where did you go to show it off? Well, that's what I did. But it didn't go too well. I was humiliated. Long story short, there was something wrong with the transmission on that 1962 Galaxy 500 two-door. When I pulled off Route 64 onto Lanark School Drive, I hit the gas and then let off in front of the crowd of people. I think probably Bob and Bill would probably understand the technique here, but there was something wrong. The vacuum sucked tranny fluid through the carburetor, and I'll tell you, Uncle Buck would have been proud of that car. All the people and the whole high school disappeared behind that blue-gray cloud bank. Back to the toy story. How many tools, guns, knickknacks, or whatever it is? Oh, I know another one. Barb's not here, so I can do this. How many fat quarters does someone need? And some of you don't know what fat quarters are. It's a little batch of fabric for quilting. We could start a store. We look at our stuff and we're proud of it. We want to show it to everyone. I wonder if we have that same enthusiasm for the Lord in our life, that we just can't wait to introduce Christ the Lord to those that don't yet know him. Our purpose statement is printed in our bulletin, and sorry, but we don't have them today. But it says, our purpose is to reach the lost for Jesus Christ, develop Christ-like maturity, love one another and our community, glorifying God in all that we do. How are we doing with that? That says that we acknowledge who we are, who our Lord is, we are living it, we can love others while they are maturing and after they reach it. Because Christ the Lord first loved us, we are compelled to love others. Then there is the last part, glorifying God in all that we do. It's okay to have toys and possessions. Just remember, it all belongs to God. It's okay to be a leader and to have tremendous authority. You wouldn't have that power if the Lord didn't give it to you. If our purpose at Laurel Street really is to reach the lost for Christ, have you figured out who your Lord is, not what? Is there something inside you that you just have to share? What if you were called to introduce Jesus Christ in front of a large crowd? Could you or would you do it? Comedian Steve Harvey was asked to do this at T.D. Jakes' church, and it went something like this. I don't know if any of you saw this on the internet a few years ago. It's incredible. And all you have to do is look up Steve Harvey introduces Christ, and it'll get you right there. It goes something like this. And I wish I could do it as he did it, because it is one of a kind. But anyway, ladies and gentlemen, it is my sincere honor as I introduce to you the man that needs no introduction. His credits are too long to list. He has done the impossible time after time after time. He comes to you from a manger in Bethlehem by way of heaven. His mother is still headlining in the Catholic Church today. His daddy holds the record for the all-time best-selling book. He holds the record for the world's greatest fish fry. He fed 500 hungry people with 2 fish, 5 loaves of bread. He walked on the water and turned water into wine without any special effects, no camera tricks. Before there was the Kings of Comedy, he was heralded as the King of Kings, the bright and shining star. He is the Rose of Sharon, the Prince of Peace. Praise the Lord, the second coming of the one and only Jesus Christ. Is not the Lord good? Joshua once said it, and we need to repeat it and live it. As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Amen. Today will be the last time that we'll have the opportunity to have Scott up here for just a moment or two as our associate pastor. He starts as head pastor at Mount Pleasant Church. Pretty soon, he's going to be leaving, and he'd like to have a few words with you. Scott, would you come?
I will definitely try to keep it short. A friend of mine once told me, and keeps repeatedly telling me, that sometimes just saying a few words, saying anything more than that, you're just going to mess it up. So a couple words, and then I just want to leave you with a popular benediction that I've heard over and over again. And on behalf of me and Amanda, you know, the last, 7 years, something like that. It's been a wild ride. It's been fun. We've been a part of this family almost as long as we've been a family. So our family's always going to be connected with this family. We have enjoyed the time that we've spent here. We've ministered together. We've worshiped together. We've broken bread together. We've cried together. We've laughed together. We've done just about it all together. It's not a goodbye. It really is a see you later. And we just thank you for all of the opportunities and just all of the prayers and all of the things that you've done for us. And Mom, stop crying. I'm not that good of a speaker. We just want to say thank you. And that's really where we're at, is just we thank you, thank you, thank you. So as the praise team gets ready to come forward, let me leave you with this, and then we'll pray and we'll worship one last time together. And then usually it said that they would, we do this a lot at communion. It says they sing a song, Monday, Thursday, they sing a song together, and then they went out. This is a benediction that says, and this is my heart for you. It says, "Now may the Lord lift up the light of his countenance upon you and give you peace in your going out and your coming in, your sitting down and your rising up, in your work and in your play, in your joy and in your sorrow, in your laughter and in your tears, until that day comes which is without dawn and without dark." Amen. Let's pray. Father in heaven, Lord of Lord, King of Kings, merciful God, Jehovah, Emmanuel, God with us. Father, we get down on our knees before you and humbly say we are nothing without you. We love you. We thank you. We trust you. We owe you. All that we are, all that we will ever be, is based solely on who you are. Father, as Barry shared this morning, you are Lord. You are Master. You are God. And all you do is call us to follow you, to love you the way you loved us. And Father, even though we fall short, even though we're imperfect at times, we know you forgive. You just smile and say, I still love you. So Father, as we worship you, may you be blessed. May everything we say, everything we do bring glory and honor and praise to your most holy name. So Father, we thank you. We love you and we declare that you are our Lord and we will put nothing before you. And may we just fall freely into your arms each and every day. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.